Back in Fort Chimo, we met George Konya again, the interpreter, and we learned from him the story of his journey earlier this year, when he certainly saved the lives of about 10 people by his prompt action in the snow, though he mightn't like to claim this at all. George, would you care to tell us how this happened, why you went out to Leaf Lake in the first place?
Yes. one time in early in the winter, in December, middle of the December, just before Christmas, and one man from Leaf Bay, and he came over to Chimo, and he brings a report, and it's most of the children over in Leaf Bay, and they had German measles, and no one is over there, and then going to look after them, and with in a medical treatment or anything like that. And we have a nursing station at Chimo, and that's why he came over and reported, see if they can do something about it.
I see. Well, then you set off from here, did you?
Yes. Then we went to the Quebec stream and see if we can, someone who can drive over there from there could go over to Leaf Bay. And then I went along myself too, and also and Father Lacha and Roman Catholic preach, and another man who bring the report from Leaf Bay, and he came along too with us on the way to Leaf Bay, and we were doing fine on the way over. And coming back in the same part of the day, and we had it stuck in the deep snow for a few times on the way back. And we having 8 children with us, and also we have quite a lot of heavy load, and also we have it's a lot of gas for the snowmobile we take. Then we get late to get back to Chimo, about 11 o'clock at night, and then when we cross the lake, in same lake, and when we cross in the morning on the way over, and coming back, we tried in a shortcut, and we thought that the same part of the lake and it's just okay with and traveling right over. And then when we get near to Narrows, and then the ice looks nice and just covered with the loose snow and a very fresh snow, and it looks all even. When we get by to the Narrows, and then all of a sudden, and then we crack right through the bottom, and then we bounce twice. We hit in the bottom in the first, and then we bounce, and in another second, we bounced again, and then getting a little closer towards the shore. Then, in the snowmobile, the same motors, the stops, of course, as the water just come right over. And then all children is in wet inside the snowmobile. When I was standing up inside the snowmobile on the floor, and then as the water comes over to my hip, and it's no wonder the children's get wet, and some of them sleep and laying down the floor on top of the sleeping bags. And then we have a very, very exciting, and the driver and pushed the hatch up in the roof, and he dashed out, and also in the Father Lacha, and then he went out and after the drivers and got out. And then I went on the side door and climb up onto the door up on top of the snowmobile. And then the children are still inside the snowmobile and a half full of water. And then I hollered out, and then I passed along to, and Father Lacha, he was standing on the edge of the ice. And the Father Lachat and passed on to the driver and another guy on the shore. And the driver and passed along to the other guy on shore.
It was a real human chain.
Yes. Then, after we take everything, the children, out to the shore, and we try to collect all our gears out of the snowmobile, and everything is floating around, and inside the snowmobile, we're taking sleeping bags out first, and anything what we can see, we can get at it, so we try to save as much as possible. And also, and then we have a portable radio, and down around somewhere in the floor and inside the in the back end. And I tried to reach it, and I couldn't reach it. And we have a little, very small flashlight. Then I make a little of a hook, and I try to jig that. And so I can reach it with my hand. I couldn't get in the further back because it's much deeper in the back snowmobile. And then after a while, and I picked it up and it drained everything much as possible. When to take them in the shore. And also we have a grub. We're not hungry. That's the main thing. And also, and the Father Lachat and told me we have a primus stove and somewhere in the back too. So, and a lot of crackers and floating around. You can't see very much, in the bottom of what you look at for.
It was quite dark, I suppose, in the nighttime here.
Yes, it's quite dark, and I finally, I got the primus stove out, and I pump it out, and before I took it out in the air, and then otherwise it's going to pump the pump freezing, and we couldn't do anything. And then I pump it out and take water out in the generator. And then after a while, this is works perfect. Then we were very glad, and we can make a hot tea, and otherwise we couldn't do very much, and we can't. We're quite a ways from the woods.
So and you would have no other sort of fuel.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We could have burned the gas, and we make some hot that way. But I was very glad, and I got a hold of the primus stove, and then we can have it in the fire inside this snow house.
Yes. I believe you're one of the few people around here who can build a snow house. Is that right?
Yes. I was lucky, and then I bring my snow knife, and I didn't plan to using it when I took it in the first place, and sure did, and it worked. And to save our lives, too.
How long would it take you to build this snow house, George? And what did you do with the children all this time while you were building it?
And at that time, when I built my little snow house, and then it took me only half an hour because, I don't know, I must have been really working that night. And I'm soaking wet, too. I don't even feel cold. I'm so scared, so worried to the children. And while I was building a snow house, and those all the children, and I put them inside the sleeping bags, and I put two each in the bag. Then I pour the right around the children, pour some gasoline, and light it up, and then that way, and then to cut the temperature down.
Mm. They must have been rather frightened, you know, and sick as well. These children, sick and wet, and frightened by the fire.
Well, because they don't even see the fire, because they were covered very, very well, and all buttons.
All buttons buttoned up.
Yeah, all buttoned up and right around. They don't even know what's going on the outside. Mm. So they were shivering, and the father Lashaz, he's the only one of frozen feet, and all the others, there was none of them is in the frozen except the father Lashaz.
Then you all got into the snow house, did you? And how long were you in that, George?
We're staying in the snow house 11 hours. And after that, in the next morning, and we walked in 3 miles to the camp, and hunting camp. And then we stayed in the rest of the day and part of the night. And at 1 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, I should say.
Yes.
And another snowmobile that came over and to pick us up. And after the young man and bring the report to Chimo arrived, he walked in the 24 hours, and then he met another dog team, and then he got a lift from the where he met
the dogs
to the Chimo. And then as soon as the people in Chimo and get a report, and they send another snowmobile and they pick us up, and we were very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we